So the first thing you'll find is I'm very informal, so I'll walk around the room and touch people and talk to people, not touch in a bad way, touch in a positive way, touch people as I go through the presentation. Just some key learnings that I've gotten so far just coming to the conference. This is my second project conference that I've been to. The first thing I've learned is that you shouldn't be after lunch. Okay, so that's he mentioned that earlier, so we want to make sure that people don't kind of fall asleep and start to close their eyes and be a little tired. The second thing I've learned is that if you want a big audience, you've got to be from Gartner, because there was standing room only in the Gartner room, and presentation was absolutely fabulous. I'm actually going to use that. I think we're doing objective setting for my office next week, and I think I'll use that as an intro because it was definitely a very strong and positive message, so we'll use that. And then last but not least, I've learned that if you have on one of those green shirts, you do excellent presentations. I think it gives you like some kind of energy or something, like the Incredible Hulk. So throughout the presentation, if I feel like people are either falling asleep or don't want to hear me talking anymore, I'll go over and grab my green shirt. And if I can just get some nods to say that you're still with me, that will be positive. I'll turn it to Incredible Hulk in the room while I go through the presentation. Feel free to ask me questions as we go. I don't want it to be one of those stuffy presentations where I just talk to you and you kind of nod your heads and you walk out and I didn't answer any of the questions that you wanted to answer. So please feel free as we go through to kind of talk through any questions that you may have, and I'll answer them as we go. If I'll cover them in the future slides, I'll just say we're going to cover that. We'll make sure we cover it when we get to that point. So we have a deal? All right, perfect. How many people have heard of ADCO before? Wow. Oh, just you guys. That doesn't count. Anybody heard of ADCO? All right, so ADCO, I'm stepping in front of the projector here. I want to make sure I don't step over here. All right, so I'll give you an overview on the ADCO Corporation. ADCO basically stands for Agricultural Corporation. We manufacture equipment for farmers, tillers, combines, tractors. I'll go through some of the brands. Some of the brands you may be familiar with when we go through it. Maggie Ferguson. Anybody heard of Maggie Ferguson? Yeah, so brand Challenger. All right, so we'll touch on our brands, and I'll tell you, I have to give the plug on the corporation. You know how it goes. I'll tell you all about it. Please buy stock. I'll say that two or three times as I go through as well. I'll talk to you a little bit about why the PPM and why Microsoft. Why did we choose UMT? Why did we choose Microsoft? What was the driver? I'll talk about our implementation approach. What steps did we go through to actually bring that solution in-house? I'll focus a little bit on, in this case, on the cultural aspect of it, because a lot of times, you know, it's easy to say, okay, we're going to bring in a tool, we're going to change our processes, but if the organization is not necessarily ready for that transition, it's definitely a harder role, and it's harder to get financial support to implement the kind of solutions that we know are the great solutions in-house. And then we'll talk about some of the next steps that we're taking and how we're expanding outside of IT. I'm responsible for our IT portfolio, and we're also looking at, we have expanded it into the engineering environment and looking at using the solution as a solution for all of our projects across our whole corporation. So I'll touch on that just a little as we go through. So the shameless plug on ADCO. All right, so ADCO is a $10 billion company. We actually jumped from $8 billion, I think, to $10 billion in 2012 when we acquired GSI, which is our grain solutions organizational group. We have a full range of projects, of products. If you think about us, we compete quite a bit with John Deere, CNH, you've heard of those. We are considered kind of the Rolls Royce of the tractor and combine, I'll say, product or bid areas. Most of our products are customized specifically to needs. We have many different configurations as far as each of our products go. We are right now looking at how we can better commonize our platforms across the organization, but the selling, I think, feature, the main feature of our products is that it can be customized. So we have to have a balance between customization versus standardization. All of our brands are leading edge. I'll show you a slide in a minute with all of our brands. Our markets are definitely growing. Our biggest revenue market right now is in Europe, is in EAME, which is our Europe, African, Middle East area. And so most of our product, I say our products are built in out of EAM and out of that area, and we're expanding globally. I like to say when we get into the presentation, I'll talk a bit about globalization versus internet being international. How many people know the difference between those two, being international and being global? Most people... Most people assume if you have presence in all of the regions that you're considered global. I argue that point. Global to me means global process, global tool base, global in the way that you think about strategy and direction. International means I have presence. I have existing. So you may have pockets of existence throughout the entire world, but you may not be operating effectively as one corporation. And so when I look at ADCO, I always play with the word global a bit because I think we're international. I think we have representation everywhere. What we haven't gotten to yet, I believe, is that we're not completely what I would consider global, common process, common tool set. And the reason I bring that up is because if I look at the IT organization, it's the same way. So if you look in the regions around IT, our project base and the way that we run process and tools, it's very international, not yet gotten to the point of being completely global. The tool that we've implemented and the process that we've implemented is getting us to the global point. And so I want to make a point of saying that. We have over 3,000 dealers. We're in over 140 companies. Leading brands. Here are our five brands. Some of those look familiar. Very much so. Maggie Ferguson, Challenger. Fendt is heavy in our European space. GSI we just acquired. These are all of our brands. So I'm a witness that you don't have to necessarily know about farming to work for an agriculture company. But I will say this. I've learned a lot since I've been with ADCO. I've actually test-driven... It's not showing there. One of the tractors, the big ones. So I am getting, I'll say, into my farming field and environment. It's very interesting when you go out and talk to customers about the product, especially if you're in IT. So it's very interesting. All right. These are some of our key tech solutions. We, of course, harvesting tractors in the hay equipment industry, application, seeding and tilling, anything related to agriculture and farming, we are in that space. We're represented in that space. All right, again, global presence. I think there are 88 cities in different countries associated. We're all over the place. I mentioned earlier we are mostly concentrated in the EAM region. You'll see we're distributed over North America. A part of that is GSI because GSI is heavily North America. We're branching off. We just launched our first implementation of ERP in China. So we're branching out into the APEC region. So we're growing and probably will continue to grow. We've grown through acquisition and merger over the years. So I think we'll continue. I won't tell you who's next, but I think we'll continue to grow in that way and our revenues will grow up based on that. All right. So that's my shameless spiel on ADCO. Go buy the stock. All right. So I rub my green shirt just to make sure we're all together. Buy the stock and the tractors and the combines and the sprayers, all of that, if you're into farming. All right, so why did we look at a new solution and why did we pick Microsoft? So we needed help, and that's mainly what people, when they go to look for a new tool solution and are looking for a new process around project management and portfolio management, they normally have problems in one or more of these areas. We've had issues, just to give you an idea, we've had issues in simply baselining our portfolio every year, right? How many people have struggled just with baselining? Just baselining. Just saying, what do we have in our portfolio? Okay, so we had struggles, and that should tell you a little bit about the maturity of the organization, right? We had trouble just baselining. Our portfolio last year was about 132 projects. And we had a completion rate, and I'm shameful to say this. Please don't record this, too. I'm shameful to say that we completed probably 24 of those projects out of 132 projects, right, which puts our percentage of completion way low. Okay, and I will say that was before I came on board, 2012, before I came on board. This year, We took a look at our portfolio and said, okay, what's the right number of projects for the size of our organization? How many projects should we really be expecting to complete? We picked the number 70, and part of it was one of these. The other part was we looked at resource utilization. We ended up completing 63 out of 70 of those projects. Part of that I contribute to the fact that we had a solution, a tool base in place, and we had a common process that we were using globally for all of our IT projects. So we struggled, and we still continue to struggle in some of these spaces, like the resource management space. Strategic planning right now is still a gap for us. We're looking to UMT to help us out, and you'll see that in the next slide around next steps. But we've implemented financial cost management. We've implemented time management. We have time tracking as a part of our solution. We have implemented project and portfolio management through UMT 360 and through the Microsoft Project Server solution. We've also looked at management reporting. We have several different, and I'll take you through some of those, some of the reports that we've generated. One of the things I do like about what we've done with UMT is that we focus not just on tool, but we focused on process change. And one of the lessons learned that I want to make sure I make clear is if you're going out to buy a tool, don't just look at a provider that will give you a product or a tool. You want someone who's going to come up and help you re-engineer your processes so that they're correct, and then the tool should be supporting those processes. We went through an implementation that I think I'll say failed. What we call it, failed? I don't know. We probably call it failing or failed, where I think what we tried to do, and again, this is pre-me. I'll keep saying that. Joking. But it pre-me, we went through a exercise where we tried to incorporate a tool that we, instead of looking at it from a new process, new change, make efficiencies, we implemented a tool that supported an existing process that wasn't very good. And so you want to bring people in that's going to walk through it, through the process with you, get the process right, and then make sure the solution is supporting that new effort. We wanted one source of information. We wanted common language. We wanted to be global, right, and look at it from a global. And the other thing is we wanted to integrate and align with our business better. And I think we're doing that as a part of what we've done with our solution. All right, so current state, or I'll say previous state, and we've kind of moved into the future state. We were using a SharePoint portfolio list. And if you think about it, that's basically an Excel dump of your portfolio. We were doing reporting in PowerPoint. Project managers were spending umpteen hours on scorecarding and updating PowerPoint to reflect every different audience in the world. So they had 25 PowerPoint decks that they were floating around the organization. We were keeping issues and risk in Excel, right? So it wasn't necessarily connecting it to our portfolio. And then we were using MS Project for schedules, and we were struggling in this space because there are a number of project managers that actually didn't even know how to use Microsoft Project. So it was a training issue that we also had to address. So that's kind of where we were. We've now moved into, in some of these areas, in which I'll touch on in the future around some of the areas we haven't implemented yet that we're looking at implementing. But we've moved to a Microsoft Project Server solution with the UMT 360 component that sits on top of that for all of our IT project needs. The piece that we wanted to make sure that we got out of the 360 heavily was around the financial management space, the enhancements in the financial management space. And then some of the more configurable workflows were the two things that we found a lot of value in out of the 360. There's quite a bit more there, but those were the two things that we were looking for. From a Microsoft Project Server perspective, we have addressed demand management, portfolio selection. Resource management and strategic planning are the areas that we're going to focus on next. So that's up and coming. Financial management, risk and issues, we're using the Microsoft Project Server solution, and it's all integrated into one place where the project managers can go, update, and all of our reporting comes out of that solution. All right, so our implementation. I didn't hear. Yes. Oh, yeah. If you want to have a conversation, you got to have a PowerPoint slide, right? We have. We have. We've with UMT, we've implemented a project scorecard. And the project scorecard, there's some flexibility that the project manager have, depending on the audience that they're presenting to actually modify things on the scorecard. It's a little bit dynamic. So it allows them to add things, take things away, include or not include. And that way, they get to use the same source of data, the central source of data, for any audience that they may have. So they're using that now. The other thing that we do use that scorecard for that actually drove adoption, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, is we use that now for all of our gate reviews. So if you're coming into a gate review, we've gotten the leadership team, you know, accepting and comfortable with just bringing in that scorecard. And it's to your point, it's definitely a, I'll say, a culture shift in the organization. I remember when the first time we used it for our executive steering committee, one of the SVPs said, that doesn't look like our, you know, that doesn't look like our normal format. He kind of stopped because he had to kind of recalibrate and say, okay, I'm looking at something different. So it took a couple of times, but then after they got used to it and started using it, it's now just a part of what we do. It's a part of what people expect. It's just like PowerPoint. You know, it's part of what we do. So it is a cultural shift, but you have to take it, take one step, and just start the change. Yeah, start the change. Any other questions? Do I need to rub the green shirt? Nope. All right. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the implementation approach. We mentioned earlier that we had a failed implementation. And again, I think we were trying to develop a tool to support process that wasn't necessarily efficient. And so we needed to kind of relook at that and really determine what are the right processes versus trying to have a tool that supported the current environment. We actually met, Andy. Diane, who works for me, actually met Andy at a project conference just like the one that we're sitting in right now, and she reached out to him and said, we really need some help in our environment. That's how our relationship started. So if you're interested, make sure you stop by the booth and talk to those guys and gals just to make sure you get an understanding of what the product can provide for you and how they can help you. I think Oscar mentioned earlier there's a consulting piece and then there's a product piece. What I found very positive about the consulting piece is that process reengineering, right, that allows you to have conversations about what's the right thing to do. And then with a good product, it works out perfectly. We were looking for a partner at that time. We got some proposals from UMT. We at the time decided that we would take a more phased approach, and you will talk about that in a minute. I wanted to get the culture or get the people in the organization used to seeing the tool and kind of playing with it a bit. And UMT has done a great job with us framing what those phases and which pieces of the solution we need to bring in at different points. We were a very immature environment. A lot of our project managers had not used Microsoft Project before, were not very experienced with it. So it's definitely a training component that I think that you have to build into the overall implementation plan with the project managers just to make sure that they are continually learning about the tool and continually seeing the releases and the capabilities that you're deploying out. We do every 3 months or so as a part of the releases. The other thing I think the phased approach allows you is from a budgeting perspective, right? If you look at implementing, you know, the Big Bang, there's a huge cost that you have to think about as a part of, and I say huge, it's relative, but there's a large cost that you have to think about in implementing everything at once. If you phase it out and you allow the organization to go with you, it's very easy to get buy-in at each phase around the next piece because people have bought into the concept of using a global tool. So it's something to think about as you do your implementation planning. And that piece kind of worked for us. All right, so our first implementation, because UMT has been with us now since 2012, end of 2012, October 2012. Our first implementation took about 4 months. Each release now is probably about a 3-month release. I'm looking at Andy, he's the person I'm working with. Has been about three months. And so that's from, I want you to do some work, to the requirements gathering with the organization, to coding and configuration, to implementation is probably about 3 months for us now on a good release, because we've gotten into the cadence and people are expecting it. We normally have requirement sessions with the organization, and UMT joins those requirement sessions. They actually help a great deal in clarifying kind of what's possible, what's not possible as a part of the implementation. And we really try to look at it as truly a partnership, and making sure that they're involved throughout the entire process. We normally have a split of activities. Part of what I've asked Andy to do as a part of all our implementations is make sure that we have people within my group that can do some of the basic configuration. So you're not so heavily dependent on UMT at the end of the process. You kind of are building some of that knowledge base in-house, and they can help you focus on moving into the future, kind of what things should we be looking at, more strategic focus versus some of the core implementation pieces. And so they've been very good about balancing that workload within the organization and within UMT. We've tried to stay away from code development, right? Why do you stay away from code development? Time and money. Nice way to put it, easy. I think there's quite a bit of capability in core product, in some of the basic configurations, that actually will allow you to do all the things you need to do for project management. Now, we have done some code development because we wanted some very specific things. But we've tried to stay away from that and use the base product as it should be. It's actually a great product. It covers the life cycle of project management. So it's not a lot of code development that I think we need overall. They have provided to us go live support. They've helped us with onboarding our project managers into the environment. The name of our solution, if you hear me say GPS, it's Global Portfolio System. That is our implementation. And we've kind of rebranded it. Branded it in the organization so people know what it is, they know what to expect, and there are no surprises. And this kind of just gives a walkthrough of the amount of time that it takes. Standard SDLC that you go through with any project. Okay, any questions about the oh. They were the latter. So we have about 43 project managers, and I know these counts because we just went through an exercise I'll tell you about in a minute, but we had four certified project managers in our environment in August of last year. These are people that have grown into the positions. They may be part project manager, part developer, part BA, part, you know how that works, the generalist category. What we went through an exercise last year, we got a new CIO that joined us in July. And I will say, I think prior to that, our focus on PM competency development was pretty low, right? They were just the people that ran the projects. The developers were the important people because they were actually doing the code work, or the BAs were the ones working directly with the business. So project management wasn't heavily focused on as a competency. When she came on board, you know, I had my sales presentation ready to go for project management, right? So I talked to her about how we build the competency in the organization around project managers. These are the people that are responsible for making sure we deliver. And so with that, we started at the end of last year a certification process for all project managers. All of our project managers were required to be certified by year end. Now, I know what you'll say. Certification doesn't mean a good project manager. But what it does do is it allows people or makes people feel as if PM is a competency versus it just being something we do in the organization. And so we had a requirement at the end of the year that all of our project managers get certified. We reached about 26 that were certified out of the 40-plus. We have another, I think, 10 that are getting certified in the next 2 months. So now it's become a part of what we believe normal practice should be. right? We are growing. When I said earlier we are somewhat immature, you know, I've worked at GM and I worked at Ford and I worked in very mature PM environments. If I had to rate us between 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, you know, 1 being the lowest in maturity, I'd probably rate ATCO, even right now, probably somewhere between the 2 and maybe 3 area, 2.5 or so. There's a lot of opportunity for growth for project management as a competency in general. Well, when I'm using that number 2.5, that's across ATCO as a whole. Okay, if I look at IT, I think my group and the work that we're doing is more mature than the project management competency in-house. I actually have to slow down sometimes and say, hold on a minute, I don't know if we're ready to do that. How do I deploy that, or how do I make this easier to understand and things like that? So, and that's because I've been in organizations where I think the environment is just more mature. Right? So it's a growth process, right? When we get to the lessons learned, I'll talk about, you know, we want to do some, you know, amazing, magical things, but the organization has to be ready to accept those things, and the people who are doing the work have to be ready to accept it. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Do I need to rub the green shirt? Okay. Stay away from the green shirt right now. All right, so this is a view into our GPS system. Top left, gives you the project detail page and the PDPs that we use each of our projects. If you take a look on the left-hand side, it includes the schedule, it includes budgeting, it includes all the information around strategy. For every single project, they are required to enter a PDP or a project detail page. We also have PDPs around project health, so that gets us to some of the, you'll see the red, green, yellow. I hate to use red. We need to go to like pink or an orange, you know, to change the culture around red, green, yellow. But it kind of gives you the overall health of the project. We defined with UMT what we thought our core criteria would be and what our health indicators would be as a part of overall process. And then on the bottom right, you'll see this is our workflow. We use stage gates like most companies do. And at each point in the SDLC process, there's a gate or a checkpoint that we use to validate documents and validate where the project is. I got to stay away from documents out of the Gartner discussion. She said, don't check documents. We got to look at value. I remember that. But we do have a validation process around, you know, whether they're in the right place within the project. At each gate, there is a meeting or a virtual meeting that we have. We just deploy virtual gate reviews in our system at the end of the year. So we do use the standard workflow that you will see in any of the most companies are using now in the SDLC process. Financial data. So one of the things that we absolutely had to have as a part of our tool implementation was a way to get down to the detail around our financial costs and how they roll up to projects. So we've incorporated, there's quite a bit of reporting around finances. Andy worked with Timo, who's our financial controller for IT, to get to the appropriate level of financial views within the tool to make sure that we were using the forecasting, the actuals. We have what we call an investment budget. And investment versus project budget. Investment is how much you get at the beginning of the year. Project budget is what you think you're going to spend. So we've incorporated workflow around budget so people approve at different points. But we really enhanced our understanding of the project financials in general just by implementing it in the system. You'd be surprised, and you probably wouldn't given the maturity of the organization, there are project managers that didn't even know their finances throughout the life of the project. They kind of had an idea because somebody whispered it to them in the bathroom on the way to a meeting, but there wasn't a formal process to recognize this is exactly how much you have, this is exactly how much you're spending, this is what we want to see from a forecast perspective. How do we measure that forecast and against actuals as we move throughout the process? So we've implemented a really, I think, nice, clean, and somewhat simple process around financials for our project managers.
detailed financial structure in the top left-hand corner, starting at total costs, going to CapEx, and then breaking down the CapEx into a variety of categories. Yep. Then we go down to OpEx and break the OpEx activities down. Then we have a series of granularities across the top. AGCO mm-hmm. track their finances yearly at one stage of the project, and as they progress through the project, it goes to monthly.
Monthly, yep.
So that's how UMT 360 comes into play. That's the add-on to Project Server. Yep. So all the information you see there is UMT 360, the product. In the top right-hand corner, what we have is the snapshot capability. Yep. And on a monthly basis, we take a copy of all the project data, the financials, all the custom field information for training purposes. So we take a copy of that. It's a functionality in UMT 360. So we can say, yep. when was this project was read 1 month, what was it like 2 months ago? So we have that capability.
Yeah. That's the piece that we, that's one of the reasons we added the 360 onto Project Server. Select them. We're in the process of implementing SAP. We have not done it in North America. It's we've deployed a couple of instances in Europe, and we deployed one in Asia. So there's got to be, at some point, I think I know where you're going. There's got to be some integration at some point. We've started, the first thing we did, because we didn't have a central place where people were reporting in general from a project perspective, was we started with implementing it here as a part of our Microsoft solution. Next step is, once we get ERP deployed and working well, what part of it is it's not working well globally for us. Once we get it in place and working well, we've got to look at how do we ensure that actuals are coming from the SAP ERP system and things like that. We are not, I know where you're going, we're not there. We haven't gotten there yet. Yep. Yes. Yeah. If I would have waited on ERP, oh, it would have been a long time. It just would have been a long time. Our roadmap for ERP is all the way out until 2018. And so we're just, I knew we weren't going to be there. And so it's part of the reason why we have a new CIO right now. So we actually redid our SAP roadmap in December, and it stretches out pretty far. And North America is, I don't even think, planned for 2015. So we've got to, yeah. So in the meantime, rather than not have that view and not have that understanding, it was the perfect opportunity for us to include it as a part of our GPS system, and it works out very well. It's a one-stop shop for our project managers right now. We are looking at, this year we'll be looking at a change in process, not necessarily tool, but a change in process on how we collect the data and things like that. But it won't be integrated until we get SAP out there and ready to go. Right. We're having some struggles with that, and I don't want to get involved in that. Or the politics around it either. That's a whole nother conference. All right, any other questions in the financial space? All right, this is the area I absolutely love, and this is the area that our CIO has been using. This is our BI interface where all our reporting lies around projects, around the portfolio, financials. We have a health, area called governance and compliance where we look at our gates, our compliance to gate reviews. Strategy is an area that we're, again, looking at building out, haven't built it out yet. And then resource management is another area that right now is reflecting our time tracking. We will, you know, enhance that to include some additional reporting. These are the two main scorecards that I think are used by our IT leadership team as well as our project managers. We basically have a portfolio view that includes all of our projects. You can filter that by region, by dollar cost. I mean, I think there are 8 or 9 different ways to filter that to get to the list. You can dump that into Excel if you need to kind of manipulate it in the background. But all of the data is stored and central in the GPS tool. What you see on the right-hand side is our magical scorecard. This is a scorecard that we use for our gate reviews. It's the one-stop shop for project managers. It's auto-generated based on the system data, which forces project managers to make sure GPS is up to date at all times, right? So in order to get the scorecard, the system's got to be updated with the right data. So that helped us a lot in driving compliance within the organization. The scorecard, the white titles, the profile, health, and delivery, are all hyperlinks into the tool. So if you want to drill down into the level of detail, if you want to know specifically why health indicators are the colors that they are, you can click on that and go directly into the project data, and it'll give you the background on that. We included a profile section, a health section, delivery, the milestones and the deliverables are selected by the project manager. So if they want to include, you know, the 3 highest ones for an executive meeting, or if they want to include them all for a project review, they have the flexibility to do that in the actual scorecard. Financials includes business resources as well as IT resources. It includes actuals, forecasts, all the financial information that you need. The project summary is actually pulled out of their PDP on the project details page. Issues and risks are actually pulled out of their team SharePoint site, and they get to select the issues and risks that show up, because the issues that you may share at a team level versus the issues you share at an executive level are different. So it allows them to have the ability to sort of, I'll say, use the word customize the report based on the audience that they'll be presenting the report to. And it allows them the flexibility to be able to add and delete things if they want to show, you know, executives versus their teams different information. This has become, I'll say, very popular in the organization. It gets rid of the 25 PowerPoint slides that the organization had to look at around one project. It allows us to make sure that project managers are updating data in GPS at the frequency that they should be, because we should be able to pull the report live and make sure that everything is there. And it's pretty much everything. I can't think of anything else you need to share around a project other than these things. We do allow them, if they want to add, you know, additional comments on a slide or something like that, but we found they don't even do that anymore. They actually just use the scorecard to share the story. And it really has helped us and grown our project management base into not using PowerPoints. All right. Oh, it's not up here. You're right. Oh, the other thing that's not up here, Andy reminded me, I thought that was current, is we included change request. Was the other thing we included, because we're focusing now more on scope of projects. Hopefully that'll get us the value based on the Gartner. But we included change requests, because that was one of the things that came up as a part of discussion in one of the gate reviews. Okay. Any questions? No questions? All right, and this gives a view, again, of more reporting. This is our, portfolio view. We work with Andy to come up with some criteria around a roll-up health indicator by region. So if your project-based is, you know, if they're, you know, 25 reds and 25 yellows and 30 greens, how do you actually calculate that by region view? So we have some standards around that. We've shared that with the organization they've bought in, and it gives you kind of a view by region. We also have a complete IT roll-up at the top, so my CIO can say for IT, what is my overall health indicator? We get into, again, the financials. So there's the forecast, the actuals by region. And also another thing that's of interest and has been of interest is tracking the counts. We use the term, I'll say PMO project, to identify our strategic initiatives. Non-PMO are things that are a little bit smaller in cost and not as complex. They're called our non-PMO. And then we have support efforts. All of our IT projects are in this system. There is no IT project that's not there. If it's not, we have a mantra, and I probably need to create a banner. If it's not in GPS, it doesn't exist. So unless if you're not working on it, if you're working on it and it's not in GPS, doesn't exist. So this captures our entire portfolio. So when people, send things for approval around financials, we say, oh, is it in GPS? And if it's not there, they have to make sure it's included and we have the right information around it. So it's really become our one-stop shop for our entire portfolio overall. The charts on the bottom in the BI Center, you can do some pretty cool pie graphs and all the kind of reporting that you would normally do in Excel or PowerPointing can be generated in the actual tool. And you can actually, what's interesting about these, and you can't tell it from PowerPoint, is if you click on one of the colors, it'll expand and blow out into the details behind what that color represents. And so that's great functionality to have when you're trying to do drill down capability to really get to the level of details. CIOs can stay at this level. The regional directors who own delivery can drill down a bit, and project managers can drill down even further. So every click you hit, it drills down to the detail level of information that you're looking for. All right, so what do we have left to go? I think I mentioned this earlier. The three areas that we've really got to focus on, and now I've got to do benefits management first, right, because that's the value from Gartner. But we've got to focus on benefits management. That's an area where I almost believe that you have to get the foundation in place first before you kind of get to benefits management. And I think we've got to do some maturing as an organization in order to get there. Resource management is one area that we're definitely looking at this year. And then strategic planning is an area that I have a passion around in general, around how do we make our portfolio strategic and align it to the business overall. So those are the three areas that we're going to probably focus on this year, early into next year. All right, so lessons learned. And so there's a laundry list here, but I can sum up each one of them really simply. I'll use my layman's term so that it'll be memorable. When you're implementing for future, when you're implementing a tool, don't just think about where you are today. Think about where you want to go, okay? And with that means you have to look at how you're going to modify your process over time and improve your process in order to get the right tool level support for that process. So just be careful. If you have a top shot right now, then that might not apply to you. But if you have an opportunity to make improvements, make it as a part of the process versus putting in a solution that just supports you for today. Data gathering. Okay, so this takes time, a lot of time. It takes resources and time to make sure that you have the appropriate baseline and all the information that's required for a project, period, point blank. There is an effort around that, and you need to estimate that as a part of your overall project. Training. I cannot say this loud enough. Training is critical. When you think about implementing a project and program solution, it is a culture change, whether you like it or not. I know we may think of it differently because we all understand it and we got it and it all makes sense to us. When you're rolling it out to an organization, you really have to make sure that they understand the change, how they will benefit from the change. There's a communication plan that you need to put around it. There's training that needs to happen. And you need to re-energize it and re-educate people periodically. Have it in your plans to do so. We did training at the end of last year. Just GPS training, just basic GPS training. And you'd be surprised, we rolled it out in 2012, you'd be surprised the number of questions we got just on basic functionality, because you have to keep reiterating the functionality and the tool and the use of the tool and how the tool is valuable to them. Management driven. You have to have somebody in executive level that says, yes, I buy in, period. You have to have the support from the executive level leadership from a financial perspective and to change the culture within the organization. If you work in a company like ATCO, it's top down. You know, if the C-level person says you got to do it, most people will figure out a way within their work day to do something around it. Right? It might not be 100% ideal, but they'll do something around it. So you want to have that C-level executive support. Support. You want to proactively follow up on issues. Make sure you're active in the PM community around the tool itself. I have a person on my team that's dedicated to nothing but support, right? And I do that because I want to make sure that they're using the tool, they're using it effectively, it makes sense in their environment. You know, all of those things have to be assured as a part of the overall process. Communication I touched on, you got to send out. We send out communications quite a bit around systems changes, around tips and tricks. We have a website that's set up around just GPS so people can go out and get videos and things like that. So it's very important to make sure you communicate it. And one of the things we're doing right now as far as environment, right now GPS is sitting on a shared SharePoint server environment. So it's shared across our inside ATCO branding and all of that. And so we're now going to take and create, I'll say, a dedicated project server farm just for GPS. And that allows us, number one, to do upgrades when we want to do upgrades. Number two, I think it's going to improve our performance overall. We've had, I think, some performance issues just because of the volume of people in the people that are using our inside ATCO branding. So you want to make sure you have a dedicated server farm and make sure that you are separate from the rest of the environment so you can do upgrades and things like that when you want to. We are in 2010. Oh, go ahead. Oh, sorry. Thank you. All right. And so, again, to that point, I think it helps with performance. And then the other thing to think about, you may remind me, when we go to 2013, right, it's only our environment, and we can do what we kind of want to in that environment. And so that's why I think it's important. We're in 2010 right now. We're looking at going to 2013 by the end of the year. All right, so next steps, we want to refine what we have. We've driven adoption pretty strongly. I think right now from an adoption perspective, we're probably at about 85 to 90% adoption overall. You know, there are going to be gaps no matter how you look at it, but we're probably at about 85 to 90%, which is pretty good, but we want to get to 100%. We want to continue to improve our data quality, enhance our reporting, and we want to increase capabilities in the solution that we have. Again, looking at resource management, strategic, I really want to get into the strategic portfolio piece because I've seen some of that work well. We are exploring new capabilities I've touched on already, and then we're also going to be looking at one thing that I think is valuable that we haven't even touched on yet is the application portfolio management. I think in the, presentation? ConocoPhillips. Theirs was all about the application portfolio and how you integrate that with projects. I really want us to start to delve into that space once we get stable in the project space. So we went into, I touched on this earlier, non-IT related projects. PCO, our product cost optimization area, outside of IT, another organization in the engineering space, looked at our tool and said, hey, we want to do something like that for the ideas that come into product cost optimization. And so we implemented PCO in August. Of last year, and they are now using a solution similar to GPS. Their projects are not as detailed, but a solution similar to GPS, and they're using that in the engineering space to capture ideas around product cost optimization. We have deemed, GPS or Microsoft Project Server with UMT as our solution, and we're now starting to roll it out in different areas. One of the other areas, and I don't know if we have a slide, I think it's the next slide. Next one, thank you. The other area that we're looking at is we also have our corporate project management office, right, around our products. We're looking at how do we implement a solution for them. And so we've had conversations around it. These are some of the issues that they've had, the same kind of issues that we had in IT. The current interface is an old system. It is not very user-friendly. It is actually file-based. Don't shiver too much. And so they're looking at making some replacement. It is a solution that is very expensive to modify. And so, you know, the system changes are very limited. There's dual sign-on required. There's not single sign-on. Again, we use the word unique. I like to use the word bad navigation. I think we said it nicely. And there's dual entry in Excel, and it's just terrible. And so what we really want to do, we've gone through a couple of workshops with one of the guys there, Doug Durant, to actually go through and figure out how can we use a solution that we have in IT for the corporate solution. And we made quite a bit of headway, and I think we're going to end up doing it this year. Because there were some specific things. Now, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm pushing back on is they want us to implement a tool to support the current process. And I said, no, absolutely not. Let's make improvements in the process, and then let's make sure that the tool fits the new process. Because I don't, if you do that, you end up spending money on customizations and things like that that are not worth, that just aren't worth the money, and things you have to deal with over time. So I'm forcing them to put on a different hat, and so we're going to go through a process where we actually look at what is absolutely needed and required. But I think we're going to, we'll have this done hopefully this year. All right, and I have to do the shameless plug again. Here are all the websites and all the YouTubes and everything you can use to get to ADCO. Again, it's a $10 billion company, a lot of exciting things going on. You don't have to know farming in order to work there. Another plug, but we have an IT organization that's really growing and really looking at how we do it globally. So it's an exciting place to be right now. I call it a lot of opportunity for improvement. So we have a lot of work to do. All right. So any questions?
Just wondering, since we've done the project for to get a lot of right there.
Yep.
You know, you've got these various things that you've sort of talked about, something, have you gone through like a roadmapping exercise or the document?
Roadmapping for our portfolio or for the PMO or? Yep. Yes. So we were just having this conversation earlier. So my team, when I first joined the PMO group as the project management office director, was three people. Okay. And those three people were what Gartner taught. I'm so enthused by that Gartner presentation. I might reference that 20 times today. But what Gartner talked about was we were the police. Right, we had three people that were focused on methodology, tracking, and I'll say beating, and you know, we had one guy who was focused on tools, and again, it was SharePoint, Excel, a lot of that. What I've convinced my CIO is that if we want to move into the 21st century, and we want to do portfolio management right, it's going to take people, and it's going to take tools, and it's going to take processes, and it's going to take all of these different things. She luckily is on board with me. And so what I've done is I've hired, just in the last 2 weeks, I've hired six people that will be, to your point, process, strategy. We're going to have a QA lead in my group that's a little bit different, or QA governance person in my group. So my roadmap now includes not just the project management piece and how we evolve project management, but how do we look at our total portfolio and determine how we move forward. So I'm in that transition stage where I'm trying to get people to stop thinking about project management as just the tracking and the beating. I'm trying to look at the evolution over time. So I've developed a roadmap that shows, you know, how we get from a project management, small project management office to a portfolio office and what the evolution looks like over time. I think you have to do that. Otherwise you continue to stay in that policing mode versus looking at growth over time. Yes. Yep. You have to. And I'm not an advocate. I'll say this in front of UMT, and they may, you know, tell me I can't come back again. But I'm not an advocate of just getting a tool. To me, the tool is just a support for the overall process. And if you go out and you just buy a tool, you're doing yourself and the organization a disservice around the capability that should really be in-house. And so we actually flipped a bit because we were already talking tools and all that. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Let's backtrack. And it took some time. We backtracked. I had to change the mindset of the people that worked for me to say, hold on a minute. We're talking about tool improvements. Talk about process. How are we improving the process and what changes are we going to make in the process? When we start each release, I sit down with UMT and I say, okay, I want to do resource management, right? Tell me the best way to do it. You know my environment. Help me implement resource management in my environment. And we talk through what's out there today, what things that they have, how do we do it. We figure out the process, and then we say, okay, this is what we need to do in the tool to actually reflect that. And that's the conversation that, to me, is I'll say just as or more valuable than the tool implementation itself. Does that mean? Right. Right. So
being out there, being able to place a project manager, kind of consultant out with them, the system, and whether it's an HR or it's an ag specific or build project, what kind of system is that? Is that kind of your vision?
Yeah,
methodology across the corporation.
Yes. They're an entrepreneurial PM. That's the term I like. That's the term I use for them, right? So right now I think we have, they call themselves project managers, but we have coordinators, we have project managers, we have some people that are doing program management work, and they all call project managers, every single one of them, whether they have five of projects or whether they have one. We spent a lot of time last year and we work with a different company that we do training with. But we spent a lot of time last year focusing on what is the definition of an entrepreneurial PM and what do they look like and why do they add value to the business, and re-educated our project managers around what their real role is. What we didn't want, and you have to be careful, because there's a process crat is the other term I use. There's a process crat PM that just follows process, checks the boxes, fills out the paperwork. You don't want them to be lose sight of the fact that that is needed in the organization. But while that's happening, there's this relationship with the business. There's a relationship with the CIO. There's a relationship with the IT leaders that you have to establish. And that's what differentiates a person who's just a process crat versus a person who is an entrepreneurial PM. So that is a mental transformation that project managers internally either have to go through, or you have to hire people that have that kind of background and skill set. So to answer your question, yes, I do believe we need to get to a model where we have more entrepreneurial PMs in-house, and that they're working with the business as a customer and understanding their needs and understanding their portfolio so that we integrate ourselves in the right way. It takes a lot of time to get to that point, right? Because it's either re-education or hiring and firing, I mean, that, just to be flat. So there's a process that we have to go through to get there. What my group is going to do as a part of that is provide the tools, the training, the development to develop the people in-house. It's supporting programs like the certification. It's supporting programs or having training companies come in and talk about these things to our project managers. It's putting the right tools and the processes in place globally to be able to do that. So I don't see my group necessarily, I keep hitting this mic, I don't see my group necessarily being the project managers that go out and do it. I see us providing the tools that the project managers need to make that happen. So that's what my group, the other thing, and just a note on that, we are looking at creating a global PMO, a global company-wide PMO. It was approved by the board at the end of last year. And so now we've got to go figure out how do these, like the IT PMO, there's a marketing PMO, how do we integrate into that? I could see that group being the group that does more of the work that you're describing. Yes. I'm trying very hard. Very hard to do that, to get us there.
I'm curious to know with your implementation, lessons learned, kind of at a high level,
I think our biggest challenge was the cultural shift in the organization. I hate to keep saying that, but that really was it. I found myself probably 20 steps ahead of where the organization was from a process perspective, a tool perspective. And just because of we've never again focused on project management as a competency within the organization. So there wasn't specific training, it wasn't specific, you know, there wasn't specific responsibilities other than get it done on time and within budget, right? Which we all kind of live by that mantra when we're project managers. Some things that went well, I think with new CIO, just the support and the buy-in, if you, and this is what I tell people, if you're able, because it's a sale job, if you're able to sell it well, you will get more support than you ever imagined, right? If you go in unsure about the benefits, if you go in unsure about cost, if you go in not really, I'll say, believing in what you're selling, I think it makes it very hard to get C-level support. And so, I think she's been very supportive of me, which has allowed me to do some things that probably the organization wasn't ready for, but I was able to kind of get done. But that's the piece I thought might be a little bit, you know, because it's hard to get people to say, I'm going to spend money, I'm going to invest in people, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do it kind of your way. And so I think that has been for this time around, has been the biggest surprise for me. Nothing. I was. You want me to be honest, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. No. In resource management. Yes, we have right now the way the schedules are set up. There are generic resources. Let me be careful. When I say resource management, I'm talking about organizational resource management, like overall. So the schedules right now have generic roles. What we don't do a great job at, so people will enter tasks and they'll assign a resource or sign a name or whatever it may be. What we don't have right now is the capability to really do roll up around resources from an organizational standpoint. One of the things that we're really heavy in right now is capacity planning and utilization across the organization. And we really don't have, I don't think we have it in place right now to be able to do the kind of reporting and the kind of analytics around how we manage resources in general. The other piece is for every project at the beginning of the year, you really need to do a forecast on the number of resources, the cost, all of that. And we don't do a great job at that either. We don't do a great job at forecasting our resource needs. We kind of come up with, you know, at the end of the year, they say you got to put your budget in and you kind of do this. Right? And you kind of say, I just hope I make it through. That's how we operate right now. And so when budget is finalized at the end of the year, most people don't even know what the resource requirement is because they haven't delved deep enough into the projects to figure it out. So that's the area where I want to delve into. I want to make sure that we're estimating projects appropriately, we're documenting that. We get down to very specific roles around technology versus it being generic. I want to make sure we have roll-up capability for an IT organizational view, and we start to look at utilization and how we bring projects in and out of our portfolio. If you add one, what does it do? We don't have any of that capability right now. It's all managed at an individual project or at a director level for their group. It's not managed centrally. So, does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Support. I want both. So right now, we don't do a great job at understanding the resource requirements that we need, and we know we got to do support, but we don't do a good job at forecasting the support, and I don't know the people in the organization that are going to be doing the support at some point, and I don't know, it's the whole, and I'm saying that to be a little bit facetious, but it's the whole package, right? We just don't, ATCO does not do a good job at resource management. And really what I'm looking for, I have a meeting with Andy and Oscar later on this week. What I'm really looking for is okay, this is what it looks like today. Help me figure out, you know, the steps I need to go, not necessarily steps, but the phases I need to go through and what's digestible by the organization over time. I know what I want. I mean, we all know what the end vision is. But based on the organization, based on what we have in place, what are those big chunks that I can, how can I separate this process out so that people can digest it and that it will make sense from a holistic perspective? So we've got tons. As I said, you can look at it as a challenge or you can look at it as a wonderful opportunity to transform. And I'm trying to look at it as a wonderful opportunity to transform. So yeah, we've got a lot of work to do in resource management. And it's tough, I will say this, it's politically tough. Because now, you're giving me the smile, now in the organization, everybody knows what everybody is doing and how much time. And so it's not only a shift with the organization, but with the project managers and people that are working on projects. It's a leadership shift, because now all of their people are visible to everybody. So any other questions? All right, so I hope you enjoyed it. I didn't have to rub my green shirt too much, so that's a good thing. Enjoy the rest of the conference.